Hello everyone, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Joe McAdam. Joe McAdam went to arguably the greatest Monday Night Football game in the last 10 years. He went to the Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Rams game at the LA Coliseum last night. So we chatted about that. And I also convinced Joe to watch Survivor Series, which was also in Los Angeles on Sunday evening. So we talk about that. Before we begin, I just want to plug the next few You, Me, Them, Everybody lives. The next live show is this Sunday night at the Whistler in Chicago, Illinois. It's at 6 p.m. Please come and hang out. That's the Sunday after Thanksgiving at the Whistler in Chicago, Illinois. And then our 10-year DC show is on Friday, December 7th at the Wonderland Ballroom. That will be a lot of fun. And then we'll be back to do our 10-year live show in Chicago at the end of the month. We're going to announce that on Monday. And our holiday show at the Kennedy Center will be Wednesday, December 12th. So in order, it goes Sunday, November 25th in Chicago at the Whistler. Then Friday, December 7th at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. And then our Kennedy Center show is on Wednesday, December 12th at 6 p.m. All right, so here's Joe and I talking about two things that are very, very bad for the brain: professional football and professional wrestling. Who did you go to the game with?
I went with CJ Toledano, Andrew Smirker, Sam Wiles, and my buddy Jacob Kruger from Kansas City.
That's a lot of people going to that game at the LA Coliseum.
It was a hot crowd. It was a hot room. You know what? Good audience last night. It was a lot of fun. My voice is a little fucked from yelling and screaming all night.
That's the first highlight reel I've watched this year for football.
It was insane.
It was.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
The YouTube. So I don't know if you know this. The NFL, the NBA does it too. Like, they kind of compress every game until an easy to watch highlight reel. This thing was 17 minutes long.
It was. I can't believe that happened.
Okay, so yeah, you went to the Chiefs Rams game last night at the LA Coliseum. Is this the last year the Coliseum will be used as the home for the Rams?
One more year after this.
Okay. We'll talk about the stadium in a second, but let's talk about the game. You're a Chiefs fan. It was 2-9-1 teams going into it. You're also a man that realizes you're supporting a very, very horrible organization. You went with a man that used to work for a horrible organization, CJ Toledano, yet you decided to go, and it seemed to be really fun.
It was so much fun. It was I don't know if I've ever had that much fun at a sporting event, probably, or maybe even we're getting up into like the top, you know, 5 or top 10 just live events of things you can see.
What's your number one live event? What's the first thing that comes into your head? Keep in mind that you were at Over the Edge 99, so I'm guessing it was...
Yeah, it was probably the time that I watched a man die. No, it was probably... you know what? Let's go ahead and put Gathering of the Juggalos. I think it was 2012 or something like that.
Sure.
That might be my number one.
Okay, so it goes Juggalos, then what?
Then, that's a good one. That's a good question. Maybe this game is probably top 5.
Oh,
I
wow.
would say.
And they lost. Your team lost.
And they lost. I know. But, like, that's the only time I've ever seen the team I'm rooting for lose and been like, all right, what are you going to do?
All right, so what made last night so much fun?
It's impossible to talk about football without just sounding like a dork, but like, oh, so many touchdowns. Oh, boy, gee whiz, so many dang touchdowns. Like, how are you supposed to sound like a... Like, that's not the lamest thing you could say.
Okay, so for the people that don't actually know, because they don't care about football, I'm one of them. It was a 51-54 score.
Yeah, which is, I think, the third highest in NFL history.
Yeah, that's like a college score because teams are bad at defense.
Precisely, yeah.
But this didn't seem to be that.
No, it's like there was a couple defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
There was a few turnovers. There was a, that's the thing. I don't know. I think the NFL is just kind of changing to be more quarterback friendly and high scoring, and kind of makes defenses have awful stats these days, but they're still really good. So, I mean, like, these two teams are kind of known for not having great defenses, but, like, I don't know, nobody has a really great defense this year, so it's not like they're awful, you know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. Is this the first game you've attended in L.A.?
The first L.A. game I've seen. I've gone to a bunch in Kansas City, but it's been years since I've seen a Chiefs game. It's been a long, long time. Probably
here's
like
a horrible question that I think I know the answer, but I feel like I have to ask it. Was the atmosphere any different?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, okay, so inside the stadium, it was not much different. Outside the stadium, in Kansas City, it's like people, like, camp out with grills and everything and roast, like, whole pigs, like, the entire day. If this were in Kansas City, I would have been in the parking lot from, like, noon until the game started. But inside the stadium, every football fan's the same.
How so?
So after, like, in the fourth quarter, there's like a four lead changes. It was insane. But every time the Rams took the lead, there was like a fan right behind where I was sitting, right behind me directly, and would just scream, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you," directly into my face and put his middle finger up into my face.
Did you laugh or did you want to fight the guy?
I mean, the first time you're like, all right, bud, take it easy. But it's like, there was enough lead changes that it kept happening. and so I was just like, you know, what are you going to – I'm not going to get into a goddamn fist fight at a – even though I did have my boys with me, I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah, your comedy bros would have definitely helped you out at L.A. Coliseum.
Sam's a big guy. And one of my friends is big.
Okay, so it was full, I'm assuming. It was sold out.
Yeah, it was a sold out crowd. I didn't realize how big that stadium is, but it's like almost 80,000 people.
Yeah, it's one
Huge.
Of the biggest in the country.
Massive.
Here's a horrible question, but I really want to know. How long did it take to get in and out of the stadium?
It was easier than Arrowhead. It was not bad.
Good. Okay. We're checking all the important boxes.
Yeah.
Did CJ have a good time? For the listener at home, we talked about CJ Toledano quite a bit on this show. CJ used to work for the NFL, trying to make the league seem less racist and less CTE friendly. He no longer works for the NFL. That's why I'm very surprised that he went to this game with you.
He was so psyched on it, and he bought a bootleg T-shirt in the parking lot.
Oh, what? Wait. What does it say?
It just is like. It says a picture of Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes, and it says, like, Monday Night Showdown, and has the date on it. It was,
cool.
Just for the game, not even for a team. So it was, like, an event bootleg T-shirt.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a good one. I did not see them on my way in, and then on my way out, I didn't have any money, so I didn't get one. I was kind of bummed.
Did you – how poor are – no, that's mean. How much was the ticket?
it was $95.
Were the seats any good?
Decent. It was, you know, behind, like on the one of the corners of the end zone, not too far back, you know.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So it was basically the best we could get at the time that we bought tickets.
Sure.
All that was left.
If you could have made money selling your ticket, if you could have made $100 selling your $100 ticket, would you have done it?
No.
Wow! It was that good.
It was that. Yeah. It was that good. I think I could have. I'm trying to think of the number that it would take for me to sell the ticket. Maybe $500 I would do it.
Okay. That's reasonable.
I'd be like, okay, yeah, I might flip it for $500 and be cool with that. But I'm still really just glad that I got to see it.
Now your wife is from the same area. Is she a Chiefs fan?
Yeah, but you know, not like crazy, you know, she didn't care to go to the game.
When you got home, were you like a child explaining what happened at the game and there were so many touchdowns, or was she already asleep?
Yeah, no, she was awake, and I was like, trying to explain like the significance of how good this game was, and she was in kind of a rotten mood because she had a an appointment to get her hair cut, and it got canceled. So there was no consoling her. And she did not care to hear about how much fun I had, because she was just in a sour mood about her lack of a haircut.
Is this the first time you've attended a game where the majority of players on the field are younger than you?
Probably so.
Did that come into play at all?
I didn't really think about it. I don't know. Maybe that's just a sign of turning into an old guy.
Do you consider yourself an old guy?
I usually think about it. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's, what am I, 34? I'm getting pretty bald. You know, you just kind of...
You get those
vibes. You're just like, I'm pretty old now. It's
what
okay.
am I?
I think I'm... what am I? It's a great question.
Hey, wife, how old am I?
You know what? Let me text Francis and find out how old I am. I think I'm pretty sure I'm 34.
Oh, that's kind of poetic. Well, you were watching probably the best Monday Night Football game in a decade. I'd say the best Monday Night Football game ever. It might have been a Sunday Night Football game. Damn it. Was when it was the Bears, I want to say Cardinals game. And that's when Dennis Green had his freak down meltdown in the postgame.
Oh, yeah. That was classic.
Was that Sunday night or Monday night? Either way, that was my favorite night game. This probably rivals it. It seemed amazing. Like I said before, I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched the 17-minute highlight video. These highlight videos are usually like 8 to 10 minutes, by the way.
I can't believe it. I was looking at it right before you called. I was like, this is insane how much there was going on in this game. I don't know. I don't even know how to talk about this game without just dorking out on it. I feel like such a dork.
I have two segues, and we'll get to them right now. I was watching Francis Ha. Well, you were...
Oh, the reverse football. About a dancing lady or something.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Francis Ha named after your wife?
No, I never saw it. I think I tried, and then I was like, I don't care. I'm pretty sure I tried and turned it off. Yeah, and I was like, this is not my thing.
No. That's the kind of movie that makes me like want to embrace the racism and CTE of the NFL.
Every once in a while, you ever like just feel like, maybe I'm a Republican.
Yep.
Okay.
The first 30 minutes of Francis Ha is like a number one example for me.
Yeah, there's every once in a while some stuff comes along, and I'm like, all right, this is just not. I'm never gonna get this one. Okay.
here's the saving grace of Francis Ha though. All of my hatred was directed towards white people, so it's like, well, I'm clearly not a Republican. I'm still safe.
There you go. Yeah, there's got to be some telltale sign that's like, whew, all right, relief. I'm not a full Republican.
Speaking of a full Republican, you also watched Survivor Series on Sunday evening.
Yes, I did. I did.
Did you know?
It was the first event I've seen in years. Yeah.
Do you know which color won?
Red. Raw won.
Do you remember the final tally? Of the brand supremacy quest.
Which, you know what? Like, I don't know enough about like the current stories going on right now, but it seems like I when I used to watch wrestling, it was like they do both shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea of splitting it up and having two titles. I don't like any of that. I'm not into it.
Okay, so do you want me to give you the mini history, or does it matter?
I'm assuming the history is just like, well, they split it up and then they have this team fight that team every year.
Kind of not really.
Right?
It goes back and forth. You're going to have a sad history lesson now. So Survivor Series only exists because Vince McMahon needed a rival to have a WCW pay-per-view on Thanksgiving weekend. Okay.
Gotcha.
So that's why it exists, period. The whole idea of it was never like Raw versus SmackDown, because in the 80s, like, Raw didn't even exist. It originally was just like, here are all your faces versus here are all your villains, here are your heels, that's it. And it was fun and everyone loved it, okay?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, then Raw and SmackDown exist, so then they're like, well, we got to have a fucking thing, so let's do Raw versus SmackDown, and that became a thing, and then everyone was like, no one gives a shit. And then they got rid of it for a long time, and then Survivor Series didn't really mean anything, except occasionally they would debut people. So, like, that's where The Undertaker debuted, that's where The Rock debuted, when Sting, quote-unquote, debuted in his 50s in WWE, on a Survivor Series, okay?
Okay.
And then two years ago... this is not a joke. 2 years ago, during the Republican National Convention, There was a brand draft. They decided to, we're going to do two different brands again. We're going to do raw
brand. During the Republican convention, there this was like a segment in the convention?
It was not at this convention. I just remember watching this and writing about this while I was covering the Republican National Convention. I was at, this is not a joke, I was at the Washington Post Reporters Lounge. They would do events during the day and the evening featuring like lawmakers and important, quote unquote, important people, right? And then I would be streaming WWE on my computer watching the brand split. This is
okay. So there, it's not directly tied to the Republican National Convention.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. So, so that happened during the Republican National Convention. And this is not a joke. I think the reason they scheduled it during that week is because Linda McMahon was a delegate from Connecticut. I interviewed her on the floor of the Republican National Convention the next night. Not a joke. I think that they did it during the exact same time as the RNC, so there would be no, so it would completely negate all of the Linda McMahon possible news.
Man, the McMahons, they are true true hucksters, huh?
Now, this sounds like conspiracy theory yarn shit. It's not. This is literally what happened. It wasn't a big cover-up. It was just like, well, we don't want any press for that, so we're going to do this at this time. It's that simple. It's not controversial at all.
Yeah, no, that all checks out.
So the, anyways, so this whole like Raw versus SmackDown thing was only re-brought into the fold. This is only the third year it's done. So it's 16, 17, now 18. That explains the red versus blue.
Do fans, or I guess you can only speak for yourself, but maybe in general, do fans like that? Or is it?
No one gives a shit at all.
Who cares?
No one gives a shit at all. Everyone's either watching or they're not watching. They don't care.
Yeah, because I certainly didn't feel like, oh boy, who's gonna be? The only thing that was that felt like that was I was watching it with my buddy, who also had been kind of wrestling, you know, like oblivious for the last however many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, why are there two big titles? Which one's the better one? And so I guess in my head it was like, all right, whoever wins has the better title.
Okay,
but
so
that's still. Silly.
That's somewhat newish, not really newish. So when you were watching, when you stopped watching it during the Attitude Era, as soon as WCW folded and they brought that belt into the WWE, that's when the two belt thing really mattered. Does this make sense?
I had stopped watching at this point, but I know that the WCW was bought out by WWF, mm-hmm. and then they had. They just took all their belts and they incorporated them into the show. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Chris Jericho was the first guy to like unify the belts or whatever. There's a famous WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans with Daniel Bryan. You saw him on Sunday night. He won like both belts. And then they're like, this is fucking stupid. We're going to combine them into one. Because at the time when SmackDown was one show and Raw was one show and they would stay on those rosters, one belt would belong to one show and one belt would go to the other. But now there's the Universal Championship, which is the red belt, and the WWE Championship, which has
what
the big
a dumb
W.
Looking. Also, the titles look stupid. They're bad looking. I don't like them. The old ones are like a million times better looking.
Google right now the tag team
the
belts because you'll like those. The tag team belts look great.
Oh no, I saw those ones. Those ones are cool. Those I saw that match. But the main ones are awful looking.
Yeah, they're bad. They're real bad.
Yeah,
it's the ketchup belt and the not ketchup belt.
Yeah, I guess I'd prefer the not ketchup belt. But
really quick, this is even more important because this involves the real world. You know how your state is burning?
Yes, it's on fire.
On last night's Raw, they do like whatever bad thing is happening wherever they're recording. They're like, we got to give a credit to the brave men and women fighting these fires, and then they sent three second-tiered wrestlers and they presented them with a Universal Championship belt to the fire department.
All right. Hey, thanks for all your work. Here's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
go ahead and you can throw this in the trash. That's awful.
Isn't that great?
What heart they've shown. Here's our ugly belt.
Let's get back to the football game for one quick second. How close is L.A. to any of the horrible fires?
There was some stuff in Malibu, a lot of fires in Malibu. I don't think it wasn't as severe as the other ones that were farther up north.
Sure.
But you know, for a day or 2 days, LA was just like covered in smoke and it was hard to breathe outside.
Damn. So the last night, it's been gone. It's gone down.
That was like a week and a half ago. Yeah,
Okay.
maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I'm sorry to laugh at your pain, but now one of your fire departments is a universal champion. So in a way, you know, kind of worth it.
Yeah, no, I in a way, yes. In some way, it's kind of worth it. They didn't have to beat Brock Lesnar for it. They just kind of
Yeah,
didn't
let's
it
go down
feel
the
like
card
you could
really
be a
quick.
paper champion here because
Let's go
that's
down the
not
card
that
real quick.
impressive.
Let's go backwards. You didn't like Brock versus Daniel Bryan.
I did not enjoy the main event. I thought it was kind of boring, and it was like, yeah, I was not into it. I thought it, so. I was under the impression people love Daniel Bryan. Then I found out that he had recently turned heel, and I don't think a heel versus heel match is usually that great. It's not. It's like, I don't even feel like rooting for anybody. So I wasn't that like on board with the underdog story of it because if this guy's a bad guy, what the hell do I care? I'd
Okay,
rather
so
have him just get squashed.
it's a real weird one because you're not wrong, but Brock isn't really portrayed as a heel or a face. He's sort of just like a bad but good guy. Like he's strong and scary.
Well, yeah, okay, that's the deal. So it's like you kind of just hate him by his looks. You're just like,
Yeah,
I don't like the
but
look of
hold
this
on.
guy.
There's a lot of idiots out there that are like, "Oh yeah, Suplex City, I'll buy that shirt." So it's not Yes, you're a normal person. But there's a lot of people that were at that game last night at the Coliseum that are huge Brock Lesnar fans.
Okay, probably the guy that's screaming "fuck you" in my
That's where I'm
face,
going.
giving this.
Yes.
He's a Lesnar mark, yeah.
And Daniel Bryan turned heel 5 days prior. This was like a last minute switch. And the way he turned heel was he kicked one guy in the dick. And then everyone's like, "Why'd you kick the guy in the dick? Boo!" And now he kicked him in the dick because it wouldn't have made sense storyline wise if he kicked Brock Lesnar in the dick. Because then they're like, "Wait, we like this guy, but now we can't like him in the middle of the match." So very rarely do people turn heel on a pay-per-view or turn face in a pay-per-view. So like that's why this happened the way it happened.
So they had to flip him prior to the
Exactly.
show.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just feel like that guy. Okay, so to me, this match should have been Daniel Bryan is obviously the baby face, right? He's like small, the
Well,
little guy. Yeah,
based on
it's just
crowd
natural
reaction,
that.
that is what happened.
Yeah.
Everyone was down.
Yeah.
As soon as he
Also,
kicked the
I'll
big
say this.
strong man in the dick, everyone was very happy.
Yeah, no, people wanted to see that. But it's like, it wasn't doing anything for me. And I also thought that his finishing hold sucks. I think it's awful.
Yeah, well, it's a not a real sport.
Yeah, that it's like, but the point is to look believable. That one looked like he's just holding his hand over his mouth. That didn't even look good. He practically pulled his hand off his mouth and there was
Literally
broke the
anyone
hold.
else, it looks better.
I take your word for that because it looked like he didn't even struggle. He just pulled his hand off. It didn't look like anything. Yeah.
Well, it's okay. So Brock Lesnar is an IRL bad, like strong bad man. So like, not you
Yes,
unless you
exactly.
bring a gun, he's gonna win.
That's all I was thinking the entire time. I was like, if you just have a gun, you're fine. You can win this. Just kill a guy. Why are there rules? Just kill a guy.
So I was thinking the match was amazing the entire time because they had the Daniel Bryan like he's looking crazy thing, but then every few minutes you realize like, oh yeah, he had to retire for a few years because of all that CTE. I'm worried for his family.
Oh no, he's the CTE guy.
Yeah, that's the CTE guy.
Okay, so I'm sure like all the fans that are like yeah keeping up are just like oh Jesus.
Yep. That's why it was so quiet for
Okay.
like 10 minutes.
Oh God. Okay, yeah. So no matter what the story is on the screen, the real story is like holy shit, this guy shouldn't be doing this.
Yes! That's why it's the most
Oh.
like a football game.
Good Lord. That's more upsetting than football to me. I don't know. That's
No, I disagree. It's equally as upsetting.
Okay, they are neck and neck equally as upsetting.
Speaking of neck and neck, that's the only thing I was thinking about while he was facing Brock Lesnar, man, with 100 pounds his size. it lands on his neck all the time.
Yeah, he was throwing them around, those German suplexes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, it looked unsafe.
It was very unsafe. Let's go back the match before, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. What did you think of that one?
Match of the night. Easy. Yeah. That was the good one. That was the match for me.
So you complained that Lesnar, Bryan was sort of heel versus heel. This was sort of heel versus heel as well.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was going to be like Ronda Rousey was the good guy, and then everybody booed her.
As a few weeks ago, she was like everyone's favorite. Here's what happened. So there's a person named Becky Lynch. She's great. She's essentially playing the role of Stone Cold right now. Okay.
Awesome.
Everyone loves her. I love her, and she's amazing on social media. She got punched in the face last Monday, and they literally referred to it as a broken face, like the Pixies song. They said Becky Lynch is out with a broken face.
Yeah. I mean, is that so? Okay, legit broken face, or
legit,
what are we talking
like
here?
She's got a giant bruise. It looks like she might have a broken bone in her face, but more importantly, she got concussed. Like, they couldn't do this match.
Okay, so that is real.
That is real.
She did have a concussion. So
she did have a concussion.
Gotcha.
So they brought in Charlotte Flair to do this on Tuesday night as well. So both main events, they switched from like 5 days prior.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Becky, Becky would have been the face, but not really. She's like a total Stone Cold tweener. Rousey was a face. Everyone loved her, but now no one knows who to do, like what to do with any of them. Ronda is not good on Twitter, and we're all finding out that she's a real dum-dum because she likes all of her tweets, and Becky keeps calling her out for this shit. Follow him on Twitter. It's a lot of fun.
That's great that they have to like carry this world over into social media.
Exactly.
Like, they can't just they shouldn't be allowed on Twitter unless they're in storyline. You know what I mean?
That well, that's
be the
thing.
Only way you're allowed to do it.
Is this storyline? That's the beauty of pro wrestling versus football. We know what happened on Monday night was not predetermined. No score 51-54 is ever predetermined. That's not possible. But this shit is predetermined, but we still don't know what's real and what's fake. That's what makes it so much better.
Well, who writes the tweets? Do the WWE writers write their tweets, or do the people write their tweets?
It depends on the person. So Becky, it appears that Becky is writing her own, and it definitely appears that Ronda is writing her own, because at one point Ronda was like a flat earther, truther, and a Columbine denier. Not Columbine, sorry, Sandy Hook.
Really?
Yes, Ronda Rousey's an idiot.
That's a new thing, is to deny Columbine. No,
I apologize. It was Sandy Hook, but I think I'll be the first Columbine.
Yeah, go on record, dude. Tweet it right now. I don't think Columbine happened.
So that's
a good look.
So when Becky is, when Charlotte is beating up Ronda Rousey, everyone's cheering for her, even though this is supposed to be her big heel turn.
Okay, so that's the thing. With wrestling these days, I feel like the idea of the good guy bad guy fight, it doesn't jive anymore. Right? Is that it? Just like people want to see the more interesting thing rather than the good guy thing.
Yes and no.
Like they want the more interesting storytelling thing rather than, so they're cheering for like the story. You know what I mean? Is this accurate?
It's not accurate. At the end of the day, the loudest people want the most sincere things that don't feel forced.
Okay, yeah.
So
they don't want like to know like, okay, you're trying to work the crowd by doing this, or you know what I mean? If it feels obvious, they don't like that.
No, that's not true, because like The Miz is really over as a heel, and like they like when Miz insults the city. Like, it's the classic stuff, like calling the city smelly and making fun of the sports team. It's not that. It's just you have to be genuine. That's why Daniel Bryan, the scary homeless looking man, is so over. People know the story. People love him because he never was supposed to be the guy. He was never supposed to get the big push.
He's the underdog, yeah.
He's the underdog. Well, Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair are both like, well, one's Ronda Rousey and the other one's Ric Flair's daughter. Like, they're supposed to be at this level, but for like, it's not necessarily cut and dry, like, we don't like you or we do like you. It really just depends on the authenticity of people.
So people looked at that match, and it's two like upper level, like top of their game performers, mm-hmm. with credentials out their ass, and they're like, all right, which one do we just think is more authentic? Or we like their story more? Or we like their attitude more?
Here's the monkey wrench in this. Becky is the most over of the three. So no one likes Rhonda because she was saying bad things about Becky. Like, Rhonda's like, oh, I've been training to fight my whole life. And Becky's like, you made fun of me for being a flight attendant and going to clown school. Like, what's wrong with working? Fuck you. So, of course, Becky's going to be over.
Yeah, so this is the working class. Yeah, I like that.
So it's like, that's the thing. So it's like Charlotte was only over because she was fighting Rhonda, but no one wanted to see Charlotte fight. Everyone wanted to see Becky fight. So it's this weird, it's not cut and dry.
So the kind of attention got transferred from one person to another just because they were fighting Ronda Rousey, and
kind of. She
had previously had a thing with
In terms of sports, this is like rooting for the same team in your division if it will help your team's playoff potential.
Gotcha. So I was rooting for the Chargers against the Chargers this weekend.
Exactly.
And so that's where, same deal.
It was like that. But then when you saw like the lady pull out a kendo stick and beat the shit out of the other lady, you're like, even regardless of where I stand, and this is some interesting stuff.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. And also I put predictions on every match before the pay-per-view started too. Kind of somewhat blindly, but I did like Google everybody.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy and my wife all put together our prediction card. I lost. I had three correct predictions on the whole card.
Did you include the pre-show?
Or no? Got four. What was the pre-show?
The pre-show was the tag team Survivor Series.
Yes, although I didn't watch that match. I didn't realize it was on the pre-show, and I started watching on the regular show.
So you got you got 3 of 8 correct.
Yeah.
What did your friend do?
4.
And your wife?
4.
Oh, okay. What did your wife think?
She enjoyed mostly when like some wild, moves went off, she was into it. Like, okay, like Shane McMahon, like jumping off and crushing the table.
Yes.
She liked that. She liked the kendo stick fight. She was getting into the kendo stick fight.
Did she think it was sexist?
That never came up, no.
Good. You remember how it was when you were a kid. Could you imagine it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm amazed that I turned out to be a normal man. Having grown up in the Attitude Era.
Well, you did attend a game at the LA Coliseum Monday night, and a man screamed, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, multiple times. So I don't know if you're a normal man.
Well, see, that guy, I don't think that guy has like a stable relationship with a significant other or goes to therapy. There's issues going on with him that I think I've addressed in my life.
Now, I'm going to blame this all on wrestling. So did your wife enjoy Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali?
Yeah, we liked that one. That was fun.
Those are the flippy floppy guys. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a fun match. And that it seemed like that one was one of the few where it was like very easily defined bad guy, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like, all right, well, this guy's clearly the asshole. Yeah, it was good.
You mentioned that one of your favorite parts was Authors of Pain, AOP versus The Bar with The Big Show.
Yes. Okay. The manager peeing his pants for the victory is a perfect move. Loved it. I thought it was a brilliant wrestling like an old fashioned like kind of weaselly heel manager thing. It was awesome. Loved it.
Now,
great
do you
move.
Think that you'll incorporate this into your performances?
Am I going to piss myself?
You're gonna pee your pants.
To do what? Like what? I don't know what it would be for. It just to make me look silly, but
yeah,
it'd make me. And yeah, I've tried to incorporate peeing my pants into the act, and it's really a mess.
Did you not think of Billy Madison when he did that?
I didn't, but now I will.
That's, okay, good.
I was watching it, and I was kind of like, I knew it was coming, which was kind of funny. But I was like, that guy's going to piss his pants. Because you could kind of see him fiddle with like a gimmick thing going on in his shirt. And it's like, all right, so he's trying to piss his pants here, but the it's not enough water coming out. Like, I've done enough, you know, kind of practical effects for comedy stuff where I could really see it in his eyes, like, ah, my fucking piss isn't working, you know. But it was good. I think the effect would have been better if it was straight khaki pants, and I think it needed a better rig for the pee.
Yeah, that's good criticism.
I'll tell you this: my buddy Chris was at the show, and he didn't even know. I talked to him about it the next day. He didn't even know that the guy pissed his pants.
It's a loss. The match.
Yeah, in the arena, people couldn't tell.
The match right before was Seth Rollins versus Nakamura. You enjoyed that match.
I thought it was great. I thought I'm a Nakamura guy. I think I really enjoyed him. Out of the gate, based on like intros alone, which I think is a fair way to judge what, you know, the wrestler's attitude and all that and what their deal is. I was like, I don't like Seth because his graphic said Seth freaking Rollins. I was like, this guy's a dork. Don't like him. And Nakamura seemed like the cooler guy, and he was like loose and kind of fucking with him. And he was my favorite. And then I think by the end of the match, though, I was like, all right, Seth might be okay. But
so,
he's still a dork.
Seth is an amazing wrestler, but Seth's he's an idiot. I had to interview him a while ago when he was the champion. He's from Iowa. He's from the Quad Cities.
Okay.
And he was engaged, and then his girlfriend, not his fiance, was on Instagram or tweeted out something, and everyone's like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. And then we found out, oh, yeah, she's a neo-Nazi.
What?
Yeah, freaking Rollins is a freaking fan. Not necessarily a white supremacist, but not on board with some white supremacists.
Well, I'm really glad I didn't root for that guy.
Yeah.
Jesus.
During that
All right,
match.
Yeah, I'm a Nakamura guy.
During that match, I emailed you because there was rumors that a different wrestler was in the crowd, and he was Enzo Amore, former WWE wrestler, 205 Live champion, Cruiserweight champion. He was there and just got up and started cutting promos before security violently threw him out. And then last night, he was at the Whiskey, and your friend Martin Morrow live tweeted that show.
I saw a video of that guy at the Whiskey last night, and he was like doing wrestling moves and shit.
Yeah, he had plants so he could do his wrestling moves at his concert.
That was really sad.
Yeah,
that was really fucking lame. That was about as lame as anything I've seen.
You want to make it even sadder?
It was how can it be?
It was a free show.
Yeah, that's not great. Yeah, free? That's not... So that guy seems like a real dork. but, you know, he's just trying to hustle and trying to get his name out there, you know? What... like, that's how I know that kind of talk is stupid. Like, hey, I'm just hustling. I'm just trying to, you know, just trying to do what I can to get my name out there, man. That's stupid.
Yeah. You're right.
This guy sucks. Yeah.
So overall,
and I saw the video of him like at the event getting somebody tackled him and pulled him down.
Yeah, it was pretty easy to shut that down.
Yeah, it was quick.
overall, are you glad you watched?
Yeah, that was fun. It was a fun show. There was, I think, a few stretches of it where I didn't really care at all. But you know, I left with thinking, okay, I've got like a favorite wrestler now. Nakamura is my favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the Charlotte Flair Ronda Rousey match.
Yeah.
So yeah, one standout match and one favorite wrestler, I'll take it.
That's good. Now,
yeah.
Do you know about the LA Coliseum in WrestleMania 7?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. So WrestleMania 7 was in Los Angeles. It was at the Los Angeles Sports Memorial Stadium. Is that correct? Let me find this. It was, yes, the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena. It was supposed to be at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. It was on March 24th, 1991. Do you want to guess why the WWE said they had to move it from the very big 80,000-seat Memorial Coliseum to the 1,600-seat Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena?
Why it had to happen, or why they said it had to happen?
Why they said it had to happen.
The security. How could we secure Hulk Hogan?
You're absolutely right. Now, do you remember Hulk Hogan? That's the right answer. Do you remember who Hulk Hogan was feuding with at the time? Keep in mind, this is 1991.
At this point, it's got to be. It's probably post Andre the Giant.
Correct.
Sergeant Slaughter or no, no. Warrior.
You got it. It's Sergeant Slaughter.
Okay.
Do you remember?
I'm curious to go back and watch the old Sergeant Slaughter stuff because that was interesting, I would say.
Now, do you remember who? So clearly Hulk Hogan is the face, which would make Sergeant Slaughter the heel. So do you remember how Sergeant Slaughter was portrayed in 1991?
Oh, yeah. No, this stuff I do remember that. I was just trying to, like, place together. He was a, didn't he side with, like, the Iron Sheik or some shit?
Kind of. He was an Iraqi sympathizer.
Okay, yeah, great move. real war. Yeah.
So the tagline of the WrestleMania 7 was Superstars and Stripes Forever.
Oh, God.
And it was supposed to be at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum featuring Iraqi sympathizer Sergeant Slaughter versus Hulk Hogan.
Well, I mean, the Hulkster had to win. Wait, did Sergeant Slaughter have the belt at that point?
He might have, actually. It didn't matter. They moved it to the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena, blaming security concerns. That's a blatant lie. Yeah. It had nothing to do with that. They couldn't sell 80,000 tickets is what the problem was.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's, like, not... No kidding. Like, Hulk Hogan, I guess, he's on his way down at this point.
Yeah, this is like they're
no
treading water at this
about
point. Yeah.
Water.
Yeah.
If it was maybe, like, you could maybe... If he had a better name than Sergeant Slaughter, but he was not, like... I never cared about that guy.
No, he sucked. The problem was they couldn't trust Warrior with anything.
Because he's an insane person.
He's an insane
right?
person. He would be
that's
like,
kind of the deal.
I'm not wrestling until you give me an advance of $100,000. That never brought it up. Either way, it doesn't matter. This is one of the best worst WrestleManias ever. This opens with Willie Nelson singing America the Beautiful. Vince likes America the Beautiful more than the national anthem. That's why every WrestleMania starts. This is not a joke. With America the Beautiful.
That's hilarious.
He sings it in the middle of the ring while wearing I think the Intercontinental belt. Not even. I think he's got like
not
a really cool
world title
WrestleMania sweatshirt on.
That's awesome.
This is one of the best celebrity WrestleManias ever. It includes Regis Philbin, Alex Trebek. And I always bring up Alex Trebek whenever people make fun of me for wrestling, because if fucking Alex Trebek is on WrestleMania 7, you could all fuck off. And Marla Maples.
What a star-studded cast.
And this is right before Marla Maples and Trump were like officially together. I think he was still married to his first wife. It doesn't matter. Clearly Trump is there. Macaulay Culkin's there. It's amazing.
It sounds great. This is prime Macaulay Culkin.
This is, I think this is post Home Alone 1, pre Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
That's the sweet spot, baby. That is your Culkin sweet spot. I love it.
You know, he's a wrestling fan now. He participated in Starcast, I'm sorry, in Schaumburg, Illinois, earlier this fall. This could be the thing that ties together your Monday night at the Los Angeles Coliseum and your Sunday night watching Survivor Series. WrestleMania 7 featuring Iraqi sympathizer Sergeant Slaughter.
Well, I got to go watch this. Now that I have a month of WWE Network, I'm going to go watch this.
You looking forward to anything for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to Big Bear with another couple, me and my wife, and just having a relaxing little kind of cabin in the woods, Big Bear Thanksgiving.
Well, I hope you have a very fun time. And if you take one piece of advice from our chat today, please bring your streaming device so you could watch WrestleMania 7 on Thanksgiving featuring Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, no, if I can plug anything before I go, it's watch WrestleMania 7. I'm in it. I'm in there. And I'm very good in it. So, yeah, give it a watch. You're going to love it.